Here we go. It's time for another what? It's time for Arthur Schwartz, the Food Mensch on Robin Hood Radio. Hey, Food Mensch, what are you doing?
Well, I'm being an Irish mensch this week. I know it may not be St. Patrick's Day when you hear this, but I'm calling it a St. Patrick's week.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the week to celebrate Irish food. I know that to some people that's an oxymoron. Irish cuisine, that's an oxymoron.
It isn't actually.
But I have been to Ireland several times, and I have to tell you that the whole place is totally underrated. It's gorgeous, the people are fabulous, and the food is unbelievable. For one thing, they have what's called clean agriculture in Ireland. The climate is such that they don't have to use many pesticides, if any. And anyway, I have to say, I this week have done a number of Irish things, and I have more Irish things up my sleeve. So let me start with Irish coffee, which we used to say covers all four food groups: fat, caffeine, sugar, and alcohol. And I always thought Irish coffee was an American invention, but in fact, I don't, and it may be, but they certainly drink a lot of it in Ireland. They drink a lot in Ireland. One of the things they drink is something that I dote on, which is Guinness. Do you like Guinness, Jill?
Yes.
Because, you know, it's like cilantro, coriander. Either you love it or you hate it. I have to laugh about this because Bob, who reads more fiction than I do, let's put it that way, always points out that in the old days, in Victorian times, they used to have pregnant women drinking porter because of all the vitamins and nutrients that's in porter, P-O-R-T-E-R. Porter is the same thing as stout, pretty much synonymous. I haven't been able to find a differentiation. So Guinness is called stout, S-T-O-U-T, and porter is another word for stout. And it's true, stout is quite nutritious. It's also, I think, very delicious, and I like to cook with it. So one of the things I make, in fact, is what I call Guinness stew. I guess if you look it up online, Guinness stew, you'll come up with something like what I make. It's basically stew, but instead of all being broth in the stew or even water in the stew to make the liquid, the gravy, you use at least partly Guinness, and I think it gives a richness to the gravy that you can't get any other way. Certainly it gives it a color that is gorgeous, you know, that deep, deep brown that we all think beef stew gravy should have. I use about 2 pounds of meat for making, you know, just enough stew for Bob and me and then another Bob and me. That's good for four meals. At least. And I would brown the meat. By the way, you don't want little tiny cubes of beef. You want big hunks of beef. So let's say 2-inch cubes of beef, of chuck, not too lean, and brown them in a little bit of oil. Could be olive oil, but chances are I'd be using vegetable oil, whatever I have. Right now it's canola. Sometimes it's peanut oil. Anyway, and grapeseed oil is wonderful too. I see, by the way, that grapeseed oil is for some reason or other on sale all over the place. Anyway, all those oils are good. You brown the meat well, meaning, you know, get a nice brown crust on all sides of these big cubes. Take them out when they're done, and then throw into the pot your seasoning and also, in this case, eating vegetables. So I would use one large onion diced, at least I would say 3 carrots, but not cut very small. I like to cut them in like 2-inch lengths, unless it's a very fat at the end carrot, and then you can cut it into smaller pieces. But I want big hunks because I want them to cook along with the meat for a couple of hours, and I don't want them to fall apart. And then I use celery again in 1 to 2-inch lengths. Let's say a couple of big ribs. And the difference in my recipe with some others is that I like to put in parsnips, which really give a sweet flavor. And it depends on the size of the parsnip, but you don't need more than, let's say, a couple of cups of chunked up parsnip. You put all of that in the pot. This is after you brown the meat, and toss it around. The onions themselves, when you put them in, will deglaze the bottom of the pot. And once the onion becomes limp, you can add your Guinness. Now, you know, I like to buy Guinness in the cans, in the big can, because those big cans have a nitrogen capsule. And when you open the can, it sets off that nitrogen and it forms a real classic Guinness head. The head on Guinness is important. And I learned this on my first trip to Ireland when I did the tour of the Guinness brewery in Dublin. By the way, if you're going to Dublin, which is a great town to stay in for several days at least, you must spend at least a half a day at the Guinness Brewery. There's a tour, and then at the end of the tour, they take you to a rooftop bar, pub, where everybody learns how to pump a, tap a Guinness, and it's fun. It's also a great view of Dublin. It's like the highest point in Dublin. Anyway, back to the Guinness. So I buy a can. If I have cans, I put in the whole can for my 2 pounds of meat. If I only have the bottles, I put in a whole bottle. And then you want to top it off with either beef broth or chicken broth. In this case, it doesn't have to be your homemade best chicken broth. I don't mind buying a box of chicken broth for this. And then you let it simmer. Salt and pepper. Oh, herbs. Here is a surprise in Ireland. The Irish use bay laurel as a shrub for defining property, you know, as a hedge.
Right.
Like they do in Italy. I it took a while for it to seep in. Of course, the Irish weather is moderate enough that these plants thrive in Ireland. Anyway, so you add a couple of bay leaves, dry or not, maybe a few sprigs of thyme, if you have fresh thyme. If you don't, you can put in, let's say, a half teaspoon or so of dry thyme. And then let simmer until the meat is totally tender. The vegetables will, of course, be tender. If you want to add potatoes, go ahead. But I prefer to have mashed potatoes on the side than to have potatoes in the stew. If you want a thick gravy, oh, I know I left out an important ingredient. After your onion is limp, you want to put in, I would say, as much as a quarter of a cup of tomato paste. Let it cook with the vegetables a couple of minutes before you put in your liquids. The tomato paste, besides giving a nice flavor and color to the gravy, also adds, you know, that secret umami. And also, it thickens a tiny bit. If you want a thicker gravy, a thickish gravy, you're going to have to throw in either a couple of tablespoons of flour along with your vegetables and let that flour cook a couple of minutes with the vegetables, or you could have tossed your meat in flour and browned it with flour on it, and that would do the trick as well. Anyway, after 2 hours, you have a really sumptuous stew. You can add other things to it if you like. Bob likes it when I add peas. Usually the second day, I'll add peas to it or something like that. Or we'll have another vegetable maybe around. That's it. So that's Guinness stew. Now, here's something I made just the other day.
So we're not getting Irish coffee, huh?
Oh, Irish. Come on.
Okay, go on.
You don't need any recipe for Irish coffee. You pour yourself a nice, strong coffee. You add some cream, sugar, and I don't know, whatever alcohol you choose. I guess Irish whiskey would be the best.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You Bushnell.
Oh, I do have a funny story about Irish soda bread, though. What?
Do you ever put whipped cream on yours?
You know what? I don't, truth told, I don't do this. I don't have Irish coffee.
Well, this was years ago.
When
we were young.
You could put whipped cream on top, yeah, you know, but yeah. I always thought it was just cream in the coffee. Anyway, whichever you like it. If you want to put cream on top, you end up stirring it in and it melts and it's cream in the coffee anyway.
Right.
So, yeah. But I have a cute story about Irish soda bread because it was pivotal in my life on the radio. The first, I don't know, I guess I started on WOR in December, and then it was all of a sudden it was going to be St. Patrick's Day, and the subject became Irish soda bread, and I didn't really have soda bread to share. So I solicited soda bread from the audience, and I was going to pick one of these or several of these recipes to share. Ends up, who knew, Irish soda bread was one of the most popular foods in the New York area, and I got literally hundreds and more than hundreds, thousands, or at least over 1,000 responses to this, which we had to sort through. By the way, most of them, or a good deal of them, were the same recipe, which, by the way, was from the Daily News, and I was at the, remember, I was the food editor at the Daily News, and here is all these people, and the recipe was developed by Ella Elvin, who was then the food editor of the Daily News. That was sort of her boss, although we didn't talk about that, because she really, you know, had a lot of miles on her when I became her boss. In any case, it's a great recipe, and I'm sure you can find it online. It's the one that has both caraway seeds and raisins. But I learned, you know, in trips to Ireland that that's not the Irish soda bread that the Irish eat. What they eat is what I call wholemeal bread, and you can buy the flour for this in a U.S. market. I'm certain online, but we must have an Irish-British expat community here in Park Slope because I can buy it in the supermarket. And if I recall, you don't have to add much to it because it's just a mix. It's about the flour, what they call wholemeal flour, and I do love this bread when it's well done. But another Irishy thing, of course, we think of corned beef is on sale this week at your local supermarket. They didn't sell all of them for St. Patrick's Day, but they had stocked them for St. Patrick's Day. And I've had this experience many a time, and I happen to see an overloaded refrigerated case with a corned beef the other day, and this is, by the way, just before St. Patrick's Day, but it was already on sale for $2.99 a pound. I mean, that's half of what I pay for a chopped meat. So I got a big one because I do like corned beef cooked at home. Takes forever to cook, I'll tell you in a minute. But I like it even better the next day as corned beef hash. Gotta say, corned beef hash is one of those things I grew up eating because it was one of my father's favorite things, except that my mother wouldn't touch the stuff. My father would have to do it for himself, and he just emptied out a can of broadcast corned beef hash, which I believe is still in the supermarket. And smushed it down and got a real crusty on one side. And that was his idea of heaven. So actually not far from mine, but I make my own saute onion, chopped onion, until it's nice and golden, even a little maybe brown at the edges. Add it in diced potato. By the way, I sometimes these days don't even bother to cook the potato. I put it in the pan right after I put in the onion and toss it around a little bit. It gets tender along with the onions, and I feel it also sops up some of that onion flavor, which it does. And then after you got your onion and potato pretty much done, potato should be soft, you add your corned beef. Cut as small as you have the patience to cut it. I never put it through a meat grinder, but I know that there are some people who do. But I don't mind it being diced. And then you throw it in the pan, toss it around with the potato and onion. This is as simple as can be. You won't need salt. You probably do want pepper. And then start smushing. You smush a little potato here, there, Some of it you'll leave in cubes, some of it you'll use as sort of a glue.
Do you use olive oil? Do you use anything in the pan, or you just take a cast iron pan?
No, I when I'm sauteing the onion, I just use, well, I mean, you could use butter, you can use oil, whichever you like. I wouldn't use olive oil, though. It's the wrong flavor.
Right. That's why I'm asking. I just, you know, there is a, yeah, okay.
But butter is okay, and plain old, you know, tasteless vegetable oil of whatever kind is also okay. I see a lot of people using avocado oil these days. Have you tried avocado oil?
Yes.
I have. And I sneak it in. I when I had some, I snuck it in here and there. But I also made avocado oil mayonnaise, which Bob did not like. So that's going to be hard for me to sneak. I still have some. It's going to be hard for me to sneak in, but I'll try. Anyway, so yeah.
Okay.
Corned beef. So here's the deal with the corned beef. I like to buy the what they now call point cut, the point cut. In any case, corned beef doesn't really require anything but water. I see a lot of recipes on the internet where you're cooking it in other things, even Guinness for that matter. I don't see the point here. I like the flavor of the corned or pickled or salted beef, as you want to call it. And almost all of these pieces of meat are packaged. I haven't seen it otherwise in a long time. They're packaged in plastic and in the brine that they have been corned or pickled in. And it usually comes with a spice packet. Now, I have pickling spices because I use them sometimes here and there, and they last a long time. But this is was perfect. I like to rinse it off first, take it out of the plastic bag, rinse it off, put it in a pot that just holds it nicely. It doesn't have to be bigger than the actual piece of meat. In fact, the meat is going to shrink, so even if it's a tiny bit tight, it's okay. Put in the packet of spices, and then cover the meat by about an inch with cold water. I always put the meat fat side up. By the way, when you buy this, you're not going to see the fat. Almost all these companies hide the fat layer by putting it on the opaque side of the bag. But the fact is, you want the fat layer, so you shouldn't be afraid of it. Right. So you put this piece of meat, which is, in my case, the top part of the brisket. In your case, could be the bottom part of the brisket. By the way, if you do flat cut, 3 pounds of flat cut takes up a bigger pot than 3 pounds of point cut. So you cover it with water, and you have to simmer it very, very gently. And that's it. That's the whole deal. We instead of having it with cabbage and carrots and potatoes boiled in the liquid that the meat cooked in, which is what I would do. If I was doing it that way, I would take the meat out, let it rest on the side, and in the meantime, cook the vegetables in the liquid that you cook the meat in. You might want to put it in a clean pot and strain the liquid over the vegetables, because there are pickling spices in there that you might want to take out. And that's it. However, yeah, I wanted to eat something different, and I've been aching to do this because we both love mashed potatoes. I made something the Irish call champ, C-H-A-M-P. Which is nothing more than mashed potatoes with scallions chopped in. And how I did that was I had three nice big scallions. I chopped up the white part and put it in a tiny pot covered with milk, about a quarter of a cup of milk, and let it heat through. In the meantime, I cooked my potatoes. When they were done, I put them through the ricer and loosen them up a little bit with that milk and the now sort of cooked scallions. And then butter, for a couple pounds of potato, I must have used a half a stick of butter, and then maybe another quarter cup of heavy cream I put in. And then finally, and salt and pepper, and after all that's mixed up, I mixed in the green part of the scallions, which I had already sliced. And so you have a slightly cooked white part and a crunchy, piquant green part. It's really delicious and went great with the corned beef. So that's it. Now, the only other Irishy thing that I make, sort of regularly, is McCann's oatmeal. I don't love regular American oatmeal. Bob does, actually. And but I do like what's what I always call pin oats, steel cut oats. I don't know what else to call them, but McCann's is the brand that I buy. Comes in that nice tin.
Yeah, they're wonderful with the blackout. Yeah.
Yeah, I love the tin.
Right.
However, I have to say it's the same oatmeal as comes in the box. So, and you pay extra for the tin. So maybe you want to keep your tin and then fill it with the oatmeal. Now, I, you know, it takes a long time to cook in the morning. Not a long time, but, you know, a half hour anyway. But I learned a trick years and years ago from a friend who loved her oatmeal in the morning, that you can make a big pot of this oatmeal and then just zap it in the microwave. It really reheats very, very well. It might even be better than it is originally. And I do this with some milk. In other words, I heat up the yesterday's oatmeal, or the intended the leftover oatmeal with some milk. And that's really good. I don't put sugar on my oatmeal. I'm a salt and pepper guy. But of course, if you like sweets in the morning, by all means put a spoon of sugar on top.
I'm a water oatmeal guy.
You, pardon me?
I'm a water oatmeal guy.
You're a water oatmeal guy. What does that mean, water oatmeal?
Instead of using milk, I use water.
Oh, well, I do water to cook it.
Yeah.
But I'm reheating it in the microwave.
That's different, but I'm just saying that... Yeah.
No. Water is totally sufficient. One of the things Bob loves about going on a British ship, particular Queen Mary too, is that they do make excellent porridge. You have to ask for porridge, and he loves saying the word porridge. it is a little nicer than oatmeal. I don't know.
Sure.
So yeah, but anyway, so it's Irish week, and if you're going to Ireland, remember the Irish have, as I said, a clean agriculture. Oh, I did want to recommend, because I love this place, if you're going to Ireland, the Ballymaloe Cooking School. But it's also a restaurant and a sort of inn. They have rooms to let. I stayed in a room for a couple nights in the main building, but there are also cottages if you want to go as a group. But they have all kinds of cooking classes, everything from how to graft an apple tree to how to cook the apples. And if you go to Ballymaloe, Ballymaloo, you'll find, believe me, they have a great website. I always think if you have a great website, you probably have a great business. And they do. It's gardens, it's fields, it's Irish, it's cooking, great ingredients. Dorina Allen is the proprietress of the Ballymaloe Cooking School, second generation, by the way. And Dorina has written a number of books, and she's really, really the expert on Irish food.
How do you spell it?
Ballymaloe is Bally, Maloo, Maloo.
I think it might be Maloe. Is that possible?
Of course it is. My spelling is not so good.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. That's the one downside with the internet. You got to go look.
Yeah, well, it's all, everything they do is there, including their whole spring schedule, which I was astounded by. Makes me want to go to Ireland tomorrow.
Okay.
By the way, it is spring in Brooklyn.
Okay.
The daffodils are up. The magnolias are about to burst open. I even see some growth on the hydrangeas already.
So that means, what, 2 weeks to go up here?
I guess so.
Okay.
Usually we're 2 weeks behind. You're 2 weeks behind.
Right. All right. Well, that's good. Good to know. Good to have the St. Patrick's Week report from Brooklyn. I mean, that's always helpful.
Okay, everyone.
All right. Well, many thanks.
Erin Gobra, whatever that.
Ah, that too. Thank you so much, Arthur Schwartz. Arthur O. Schwartz, the food O. Mensch on Robin Hood Radio.